I want us to turn our attention this morning to Proverbs 31. And many of you, I'm sure, when you hear those words, Proverbs 31, there's something that comes to mind. You think, oh, that's the virtuous woman. That's the passage about the excellent wife. Most of the time, when we think about Proverbs 31, we think about that particular section of Scripture, verses 10 through 31. It's a popular passage. We hear it so often at funerals. It's a common theme for ladies' days, ladies' Bible classes. It is a wonderful description of what young men should be looking for in the young ladies that they'll date and eventually marry. But just perhaps very few of us have paid much attention to those first 9 verses in Proverbs 31. And it's in these 9 verses that we find some good advice from an excellent mother. Verse 1 tells us that these are the words of King Lemuel, an oracle taught to him by his father. Now, there's not much that we know about Lemuel. As a matter of fact, there's nothing that we know about him outside of these verses. Some suggest that this was actually King Solomon. Others say it was King Hezekiah. Some others say, well, it's just another king who's not named anywhere else in Scripture. We don't know for sure who this Lemuel was. But what we do know is that whoever he was, he had a mother who wanted to share advice with her son. Not just about who would be an excellent wife or who would be a virtuous woman, but she had some incredible advice for him as a king. But mostly, as her son. It doesn't matter whether you're a son or a daughter. It doesn't matter whether you're 3, 5, 35, 53, or 83. Chances are your mother has either passed advice along to you or she will pass advice to you. You may like it. You may not like it. You may choose to honor it or you may choose not to honor it. You may choose to heed her advice or not heed it. But your mother will give you advice. It's her God-given right to share with you her opinion. That's what she's supposed to do because she cares for you and because she desires to help you and strengthen you and nourish you. Regardless of your age, you're your mother's child. So we look today in Proverbs 31. We focus on our text in the first 9 verses there. We find wonderful advice for any mother to give to her son or her daughter. We want to notice just a few points together this morning. Advice that a good mother can give to her child. So within this lesson, we can find advice that can be given to any one of us that are here this morning. But I would suggest to you as well, this is wonderful advice to give to mothers so that they will pass this along to their children. Now, our first point, it's really not any advice at all. It just recognizes the type of mother who gives good advice. Number one, a good mother is inquisitive. She asks questions. Take a look again at verse 2. In verse 2, Lemuel's mother asks him 3 questions, and really they're the same question. She says, "What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows?" 3 times she asks the same question. What are you doing? Young people, how many times has your mother asked you that very question? What are you doing? Those of us who are older, let's think back to our childhood. Do we remember our mothers asking us that same question? What are you doing? You might have been minding your own business. You might have been doing something completely innocent. And in comes your mother with that question, what are you doing? Maybe it's a little bit annoying. Maybe it was a little bit frustrating. Maybe you had some friends over at the house. You were playing, you're getting along, you're not bothering anybody. And then in pops your mother again with that question, what are you doing? Maybe that's a little bit embarrassing to you. Maybe she was nosy and intrusive. always wanting to know, what are you doing? But that's what she was supposed to do. Because she was a good mother. Good mothers will want to know what their children are doing. If you look into this passage once again, I want you to recognize not just the question that his mother was asking him, but I want you to recognize how Lemuel expresses to us why it is that she was asking that question. Mom, why do you keep asking me all these questions? What am I doing? Where am I going? What am I going to be doing when I get there? Who's going to be there with me? Why do you keep asking all these questions? Well, take a look at what Lemuel's mother said to him. Notice how she talks about him. What are you doing, my son? She's saying, Lemuel, you're my flesh and blood. You're my son. What are you doing, son of my womb? For 9 months, she had carried him before he was born. And when he was born, what did he do? He cried. 6 weeks after he was born, what did he do? He cried. 6 months after he was born, what did he do? He cried for his mama. And she was there by his side. Good mothers are inquisitive because they're concerned about the well-being of their children. Now, children, kids, teenagers, if you ever wonder why your mother asks you all of these questions, understand this. You are her child. You're the answer to her many prayers and the subject of many of her prayers. You see, the last statement that was made by Lemuel's mother, she said, "What are you doing, son of my vows?" Your mother didn't just claim you as a child. She didn't just claim you as her own. She claimed you as a gift that was given to her by God. She's concerned about your well-being because you're the answer to and the subject of many of her prayers. You know what the name Lemuel means? It means dedicated to God. Of course she wanted to know what her son was doing because she had made it her life's goal to dedicate her child to God. And if any mother desires to live such a dedicated life, she'll dedicate her time to being inquisitive of her children to make sure that their well-being is good. A good mother is inquisitive. As we move into verse 3, we find the first piece of good advice that we gain from Lemuel's mother, and that is a good mother advises purity. Now you'll notice as we begin to get into verse 3, all the way down to verse 9, that Lemuel's mother is very specific because he's a king and she knows some specific problems that revolve around kingship. I want us to look at this passage very specifically as it's written, but I also want us to look at these verses from a broader perspective so that those of us who are not kings can make application in our lives. So let's notice again verse 3 and the first piece of advice that Lemuel's mother gives to him. Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. Do not sacrifice your strength for what will weaken you. That's the essence of what Lemuel's mother was teaching him here. Do not sacrifice your strength for what will weaken you. Lemuel's mother must have been concerned that if he exhausted all of his energies on those things that would steal his purity, those things that would steal his integrity, that he wouldn't be able to fulfill his responsibilities as a godly king. She was concerned that Lemuel live a life of purity. You know, good mothers will do that. A good mother will reinforce the importance of purity. Now, that's a very tall order in our society today. It's not the end thing. It's not the fad. And that's why it's so important for good mothers to reinforce and back up and emphasize and underline and highlight the strength that comes with purity of mind, purity of body, and purity of soul. Yes, God wants us to be people of purity because purity is our strength. Some people look at purity and they say, well, that's weakness. But purity is strength. And whenever purity, whenever our strength is sacrificed for those things that will weaken us, it will destroy our relationships. It will destroy our reputation. And it can destroy our soul. So a good mother will advise her child to live a pure life. Pure in speech, pure in mind, pure in thought, pure in action, pure in conduct. A good mother will advise her child, just like Lemuel's mother did. Good mothers advise their children to be pure. The second piece of advice comes to us in verses 4 and 5, and that is, a good mother advises restraint. And once again, these verses are very specific. But we want to step back a little bit and look at them from a broad perspective. She says in verse 4, it's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink. Let's stop right there for just a minute. We'll get to verse 5, but notice this first. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. Now, you're probably not going to see this in your English translation. I can't see it in mine either. But the spelling of Lemuel's name, as it's spoken here in verse 4, from his mother's mouth, it's spelled differently than we saw it in verse 1. Now, maybe it was intended by Lemuel's mother to draw more of an emphasis on the meaning of his name. Remember, his name means dedicated to God. Lemuel's mother was concerned that he live a life so as to represent his name, dedicated to God. So it's as if she's saying, Lemuel, listen to me. Restrain yourself. Live a self-disciplined life. Now we look on into verse 5. She continues with verse 5, not just telling him that he needs to restrain himself from wrong, but she also tells him there are some consequences that come along with a lack of restraint. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Lest they drink and forget. Isn't it true that when a person ignores restraint from temptation, that they begin to sear their conscience? And the more they do it, the more they sear their conscience. And it's this sort of spiritual scar tissue that develops over their heart. And then they really don't know what kind of decisions to make. They're faced with some challenge. They're faced with some difficulty. They're faced with some greater temptation. And then they don't know how to deal with it because they forgot how they were supposed to act as a pure and disciplined individual. Lemuel's mother goes on to say, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Once that conscience has been seared, they tend to forget the love of God. They tend to forget the decrees that God had sustained them up to that point. And so they resort to their own selfish interests and their own ideas, and they reduce their care and their concern for others. Good mothers will advise their children to restrain themselves. The consequence is to forget and become selfish. So good mothers teach their children how to be self-disciplined. Good mothers advise their children, restrain yourself from wrong, or you might stain yourself for good. Now I come to verses 6 and 7. Good mothers advise ministry. We've just seen Lemuel's mother tell him, do not drink strong drink. But now she turns around and says, I want you to give strong drink to some people. We need to understand what she's talking about. Take a look at it. Verses 6 and 7. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Now, understand this. This is not a proof text for giving your buddy a drink when he's down on his luck. That's not at all what Lemuel's mother is talking about here. She had just finished telling him, don't take strong drink for your own entertainment. Don't take strong drink for your own satisfaction. Instead, she says, use that strong drink for good. What was she talking about? She's talking about the kind of person who's in misery, in poverty, who's in affliction, someone who's about to die. Back then, they didn't have painkillers, but they had strong drink. And it's nothing to be compared with the strong drink that we have today. The point of this piece of advice is this: help others. Help those who are in need. Give them what they need. A good mother will advise her children to help others. That's what we learn from this passage. A good mother advises her children to help others. You know what? She is a perfect example of it. It's what she has done for her child. When you couldn't talk, your mother knew exactly what you needed. When you couldn't walk, she took you there. When you were startled awake in the middle of the night by a nightmare, she stayed awake with you. When you didn't know how to do it, she showed you. When you didn't understand it, she explained it to you. When you didn't know how to deal with it, she cried with you. She knows a little something about helping others because that's what she's dedicated her life to helping you. And if any mother out there desires to be a wise mother, you'll pass along that advice to your child to help others. And the next piece of advice, very similar to this last one, but it's this: a good mother advises just living. Take a look at verses 8 and 9. She says, "Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth. Judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." Lemuel's mother basically tells him this: if they cannot speak, you speak for them. If they've been wronged, you make it right. If they can't find justice, you give it to them. If they've been abused, you stand up for them. Some people don't have the ability to defend themselves or even speak for themselves. They need help. But not just any help will do. The best help comes from those who, through training and through the teaching of good mothers, are concerned for righteousness, are concerned for justice. And that's what good mothers will do. That's how good mothers will advise their children. Just like our last point, good mothers will advise their children to help. And any help that we can give someone can be good help. And they can get good help from just about anyone. But the best help that can be provided for some people's lives is not just any good help, but help that comes from just and righteous people. Good mothers will train their children to speak graciously. They'll train their children to act respectfully. They'll train their children to think about others first. A good mother will train her child to live honestly and with integrity, because good mothers advise their children to live just lives. Now, to me, that's some pretty good advice. Looking at a woman who was so inquisitive about her son, seemingly always wanting to know what he was up to. He was her son. He was her answer and the subject of many of her prayers. And so she gave him advice. And it's good advice for all. To live pure. To be self-disciplined. To be concerned about others. To be a person of integrity. I hope that this advice from King Lemuel's mother is advice that we'll all be willing to pass along to others. We're thankful for good mothers. We're thankful for the time and sacrifices made by good mothers. We're thankful for a mother's love. As we've talked about this morning, we're thankful for the advice of good mothers. Happy Mother's Day. Now, mothers give advice. Sometimes that advice is wanted. Sometimes, maybe not so much. But mothers give advice. Maybe you can think of some of the best advice that your mother has ever given to you. You know, there's one piece of advice that I've received that it stuck with me. And I've really come to acknowledge and appreciate this advice as I've grown older. And it's this. Do what's best for you and your family. You know, a mother always wants what's best for her children. But a good mother never wants her children to be confused with what she wants and what's best for her child. This morning, as we consider the invitation of Christ, I would imagine there are any number of mothers who would want what's best for their child. Not because it's what they want, but because they've trained and they've taught their children to develop a personality and an individuality to discern for themselves what's best for them. I would imagine there are any number of mothers who know and who understand through the teaching of the Scriptures that what's best for her children is a life of service and devotion to God. And so this morning, if you realize that what's best for you is a life with Christ, maybe you're not a Christian, you can come in faith this morning. Repent of your sins, confess you believe Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and be baptized even this morning to have your sins washed away. Or maybe you feel what's best for you is you have the prayers of the church on your behalf to strengthen you, that God may be with you either in your study to become a Christian or after you've become a Christian to be forgiven of any sin in your life. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, please come while we stand and sing together.